Welcome to this podcast from VCP 2014, the Vital Church Planting Conference. The conference is held in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, every year and brings together church planting leaders from across Canada. It is co-sponsored by the Anglican Diocese of Toronto and the Wycliffe College Institute of Evangelism, which is closely connected with Fresh Expressions Canada. We hope you enjoy this podcast. For more information on the conference and how you can register for the next Vital Church Planting Conference, please visit www.vitalchurchplanting.com.
Well, welcome. I think you're in the right place. Are you pioneering? Good to see you. I want to introduce myself. Come in, grab a seat, and I hope everybody has a handout as well. Anybody not have a handout? So. Well, it's really good to be here. I've heard about this conference now for a number of years. Always been my intention to get here. And anyway, this is my first time giving a workshop. One of these days I have to come and take in the whole thing. I really would benefit from that. My name's Daryl. We're planning a church in Liberty Village. And Liberty Village, if you don't know where that is just north of the CNE in Toronto, a brand new community of condos, a very fascinating community, average age 36, singles, more dogs than children, no churches. So it's fascinating to go in there. A bit of my history, I'm a Baptist. And I was just telling Ryan, I don't think Ryan even knew this, but this is my home. This church here is my home away from home. So if I'm on sabbatical or holiday, I often end up here and hearing Judy and Barry preach, Ryan when he was here. And one day my son, came here. My son was, I think, about 8 years old. And coming home afterwards, he said, you know, it's interesting. He's like, He's always gone to a Baptist church. He says, I've always gone to church. I've been to Sunday school. But this morning, for the first time, it really struck me what Jesus has done for me. And so I always laugh. It took coming to an Anglican church on a Sunday for my son to encounter Jesus Christ for the first time. So Barry loves that story. He reminds me of that often. I'm grateful because in planning this church, I know we're all in the body. Probably not everybody here is Anglican, but Anglicans have been some of our key people. Our worship leader is Anglican, and just some of our best supporters have been Anglican, and in terms of moral support, finances, and everything. So anyway, I'm talking today about pioneering in third spaces. And as I mentioned, this is completely new for me. I pastored an established church for two of them, one for 13 years, one for 7 years. And coming to Liberty Village, this is key because I think cracking this and beginning to figure this out is absolutely vital for what we're trying to do. And I would say not just for new churches, for pioneering. Today we're talking about pioneering, but it's also vital for existing churches as well. So let's jump in and just a few ground rules. You are free to interrupt anytime you'd like, except for heckling, Ryan. But you can interrupt. You can save your heckling for later. But if you have a question or a comment, observation, anything isn't clear, by all means, feel free to raise your hand or just interrupt me. The other thing is we will make time for some discussion and Q&A. And I'm not trying to teach you a set of principles today, although I will. But I'm learning this. So I don't come as somebody who's figured this out by any means. So I want to share my story with you as well as maybe some principles about pioneering in third spaces. But first, what is a third space? We have to ask that question. A third space or place, I like space better because third place kind of makes it sound like you couldn't come in first or second, so you ended up in third place. But third space is, I prefer that. It refers to informal social surroundings separate from the two usual social environments, home and the workplace. There's home, there's work, and there's Starbucks, as the saying goes. And really crucial, If you think about where you spend your life, I imagine a lot of you spend your life, a good deal of it, at home. Probably not as much as you would like. If you're like me, home is sort of like where you want to be more often. You spend a good deal of time at work, but increasingly a lot of people spend time in third spaces. And it's places like, well, cafes. If you remember the TV show Cheers, where everybody knows your name, that is a good example of a third space where you go after work and it's neither home nor work, and it's a place where you can relate and talk and be known. Coffee shops. In Liberty Village, there's at least 6 coffee shops. Everywhere you go, there's a coffee shop. And it's crucial. I think one of the reasons why is because if you live in a condominium, if you have maybe 500, some people have like 400, 500 square feet, I go in there, I get claustrophobic in some of the smaller ones. You really need a place where you can go, and if you live alone or with a dog, you're longing for a place where you can go, and you can't have people over that easily, so you want to go where you can meet people. So coffee shops, bookstores. So have you ever had that experience of going to a Chapters and looking around and seeing these big, comfortable sofas or lazy chairs, and you're like, since when did a bookstore ever think it would be good to put in these chairs? But you go there and you realize people go, and sometimes you feel like you're interrupting a conversation with people as you're trying to browse down the aisle. It's a social space where people feel at home. They go get a coffee, they grab a book, they don't buy the book, they sit and they read it, they chat with friends. It's fascinating to watch. Not at all like the old bookstores where you go in and if you're not buying a book, you get out and you feel kind of awkward if you're reading a book. Chapters almost encourages it. So, and some of them don't, but they're making it into a third space. Bars, in Liberty Village, we have this Bar Vespa, and we also have, actually the number one is Brazen Head, which is when there's a Toronto FC game on, that place is packed. Williams Landing across the street. These are places where you go because you want to hang around, you grab a brew, you talk with friends. Super Bowl Sunday is coming up. Last year we went, we thought it's going to be a great third space, we're going to go. They had a big pig roast, and $30 I think got you in, got the game. We thought it's going to be great because everyone's going to be there, we'll connect with people. Well, we didn't realize nobody's interested in talking at a Super Bowl game. So it was a good effort, but we became students, because that's a place where people, they don't watch the game at home. They go to a sports bar or a place like that, and they watch the game. Hair salons, barber shops, gyms. I used to live in Etobicoke, and the interesting thing, I went to the gym there, and it was the weirdest thing, because Etobicoke is suburbia. It's inner suburbs, but it's suburbia, and it was hard to know where are the third spaces. And I would go to the gym, and so the gym was a lot of older people, and I realized for a long time they wouldn't even talk to me. And after I'd been going a number of months, they began to talk to me, and I realized, okay, I think I'm being accepted now. I'm being initiated to the club. And I would go to the gym and work out, and I think two things I learned. One is a lot of these guys come here, they never work out. They go to the change room. And I would go change and then go work out. I'd come back to the change room. They're still sitting there wrapped in a towel. They've been talking the whole time. And I would go into the gym, and eventually they'd get their clothes on and they'd go, and they would sit down in a machine. They were going to do something. And you're trying to get to that machine. Well, they're sitting there for half an hour talking. I don't think they even used it once. And for them, I realized a gym is a third space where they go. It's not home, but they go not to work out, but to socialize. I think the other thing I realized, and this will show you how slow a learner I am, I would go, I'd have these podcasts, sermons I'd listen to, and some of them were even about being missional, and I'd put them on, and I'd be like on the machines, and I soon began to realize, I'm not being very missional with my white earbuds in, and I noticed a huge difference when I took them out and began to have all these conversations with people. And by the way, being in ministry, it opens up all kinds of conversations, because people are like, what do you do? And if the minute you begin to answer, well, I'm a pastor, it leads to all sorts of sometimes awkward but interesting conversations. So gyms, bowling alleys, arcades, social clubs, I think the Legion, all kinds of places like this. We're going to look at the criteria of what a third space is, but can anybody think of other examples in your context of third spaces? Not work, not home, but kind of between? Yeah? That's right. Expand on that. Right. So you go to pick up your mail at a super mailbox or somewhere and you're... Yeah, that's good. That's right. That's good. Bus stops. It brings to mind bus stops. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Teachers. I remember going walking with my friends on Sunday. And I was like, ooh. I don't have kids, so I can't sit there and teachers and like,
yeah. I mean, if you look at a Canadian third space, the bleachers of a hockey game, perfect.
Which are there for practice and game.
That's right. That's right.
Beaches, which are destination
locations. Yeah. Beaches? Art galleries. Art galleries?
Libraries.
Yeah, libraries. Public transportation, yeah. There's, I mean, if you begin to think, and here's the thing, in Etobicoke, there weren't a lot. Where I am now, Liberty Village, there's tons of them. And every community is different, but we're going to look at the criteria, but... You know, in Liberty Village, we have a dog, and moving into a condominium, I was like, we need to get rid of the dog, and began to realize, okay, one of the great third spaces in our community is everybody has to go out from their condo and walk the dog, and they go to the park, and that is, so we call our dog now a missional dog. The reason we have the dog is because we want to be out in the park with everybody, and I mean, the awkward thing is, everybody knows the dog's name, so, oh, you know, and the age and the breed and everything. And how can we translate that so I get to know the people who are throwing the ball for the dog and everything? Yeah, that's right. It's true. Yeah, exactly.
It's funny you mentioned the West End of Toronto because that's where I am right now. And the priest at the parish has said she does more pastoral care at the metro at Willow River Tree Farm.
Yeah.
She does in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a good excuse, you know, have you been to the LCBO today? You got to go to meet people. But seriously, it's true. Well, what are some hallmarks of a third space? I'm Baptist, by the way. That would be more shocking in my context, right? You go to the LCBO, like, what are some hallmarks of the third space? Well, one of them is cheap. And that's where you might be wondering, really, is Starbucks actually qualify as being a third space? But it's a place where, generally, money is not a barrier. You can go, and it's disposable income. You can go and do that. There's usually food and drink. And we'll talk about this in a minute, but I think it was Tim Chester that said this about Christ. If you took food and drink out of the Gospels, they would be very short documents. A lot of Jesus' ministry seemed to be where people were eating and drinking, and he was there with them. And so there's just something about eating and drinking. Going back to Starbucks, it's interesting, the one in Liberty Village, people complain about this, but they took out the old little tables, and they put in this big communal table, like a big family table. And it's an odd feeling, because you sit down with a whole bunch of people you don't know, like it's a big family meal, and you open your laptop and you're talking and overhearing conversations. But it's very interesting that I think they did it probably to push people in and out, but there's something unique about opening up your laptop and sharing a table and eating at the table with other people. You're not in your own space, you're sharing space. So food and drink, there's something really interesting about eating and drinking together. Highly accessible, and that means... Number one, proximity is important, When we looked at Liberty Village, we were not living there. And it was because mainly my wife wasn't ready to move there. And I mean, you talk about tearing your wife out of, she's excited, she loves it, but it's a process. And but noticing the difference of actually being in the community, and this is missional 101, but you have to be there. And it's one thing to drive in and go to the coffee shop, but it's another thing to make that part of your daily life and to continually be rubbing shoulders with the same people all the time. So accessible, proximate, those two relate. Accessible means open to anybody. Involve regulars, people who habitually congregate there. Welcoming and comfortable, and both new friends and old. That's from, by the way, the book that really developed this thinking is called The Great Good Place, and it's worth picking up. These are the hallmarks. Yeah, that's right.
Just wondering if there's a difference between a third space and places where we interact and meet people but don't necessarily congregate. Like an LCBO or a bus stop, maybe, I don't know, but you meet people there, but you're not going to sit down and actually, like a coffee shop, you sit down and you actually could engage in a conversation.
Yeah. I think it's, so for instance, a bus stop, if every day the bus comes and you wait for 15 minutes with the same group of parents, that might be more like a third space. But if it's like your TTC stop where you see different people every day and it could be like 2 minutes.
But so, isn't a third space where you actually, you stand in the bus stop and I'm not meaning to minimalize the contact you can have with someone. 15 minutes overpower, over space of months. Yeah, that's part of what we've been talking about here, making use of the times when we're related to people in our life. But is that really a third space?
Yeah. It's certainly a little bit fuzzy, for sure. No, that's right. I have a friend in Guelph, and this is creepy. It wouldn't work in my context, but he gets juices every week, and he goes to the bus stop. He has no kids, and so he's the juice guy handing out juice to all the kids and talking to the parents. And in Toronto, that would be like, who's this creepy guy? There it seems to work. It's an impoverished area. So I don't know. That sounds to me like, I mean, it's a regular place. You see the same people every week. It's not just a place to pick up the kids, but you congregate. But I hear you. Like, maybe there, we have to be very clear and defined, but it's fuzzy.
Just to sing the praises of the bus stop for a second, because I take public transit every day. And actually, one day, I just went to the bus stop outside my place, because I was going somewhere, and there was this other guy standing there. And he turned to me. It was really strange, actually. But he actually turned to me and said to me, "Do you believe in God, or do you believe in Jesus?" What? So I actually started to engage this stuff for some time. We were just waiting for the bus, and there was something else to do. And so I talked to him for a bit and talked about how he was going through, just a crisis of faith for a while. And then I actually didn't see this guy for about another, 2 months. And then one day, this guy comes up to me. I have no idea who he was. And he said to me, he sort of said, "Hey, everything's okay now." It took me a few minutes to kind of twig on to, somewhere in person, but he says, "Hey, everything's great." You're going to go, "Oh, then God's blood here." It took me a second to realize it was the same guy. And actually, I do see this person from time to time at the bus stop, and we actually do have dialogue. So that's a rare circumstance. I totally hear what you're saying, but that makes sense.
But I'm not sure those are rare circumstances. That's listening to God. I mean, I can tell a similar story of being in a backpacker's in South Africa and having something like that happen. That's what we do as Christians. We're attuned to God when we're in our places, when we're walking our daily lives. We are to be in tune with God, so when people turn to us, we can answer them. But I think, I mean, because I've been working with the idea of third spaces, we have to be careful that we don't make everything into a third space.
Yeah.
Because then you water down what a third space is.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I'm not meaning to minimalize any of those kinds of encounters.
Yeah. That's a good word.
Space is something we can potentially invite people into. So even the dog park,
Okay, that's a good word. Yeah. So it's very, we're going to see, you know, some of the, not only hallmarks, but characteristics. So it's interesting to apply the grid and really think through, not everywhere, I think it's a good word, not everywhere where you meet people is a third space, but some approximate it and don't quite get there. And so it's important to think about that. Anybody else? Comments? Well, let's keep going, and we'll I'm sure there'll be more. Characteristics of a third space. So, you know, there's hallmarks, characteristics similar, but Oldenburg suggests there are eight characteristics. One, neutral ground. And we're going to talk about this. For a lot, this is why churches are not typically regarded as being third spaces. They can be. Some churches are able to create a third space. But in terms of being a neutral ground, there is that element of this is not a space belonging to a special group that has privilege. This is community space where we can all come and gather. Level, it puts no importance on an individual status in a society. So it's a level place. If you sit at Starbucks, there's really, you could be sitting, the Liberty Village is weird. One of my friends is an artist in Liberty Village. And one day she's like all excited. She has art hanging on display there. And she's like this guy. One day a friend comes over to her condo and says, why do you have Brian Burke's business card? Brian Burke used to be the president of the Leafs. He's now with the Flames and big hockey thing. She's like, who? Didn't even know who he was. But in Liberty Village, I mean, Brian Burke was there, wanted to buy her art. Daniel Lanois, a musician, Canadian musician, the other week, I mean, Conrad Black is in there all the time. He films a TV show. Ben Mulrooney was in one day to Starbucks. But at Starbucks, it doesn't matter if you're Conrad Black or Ben Mulrooney or Daniel Lanois or Brian Burke. You line up, you get coffee, you wait for a seat. There's no, it doesn't matter who you are. And there's that element of you don't go in and pull rank. It's that place where everybody's on the same ground, which is interesting. Conversation is the main activity, and that's where you have to wonder, one of the criteria of is a bus stop, because do people go to a bus stop to converse? I would say yeah, with the parents who form a little group and get there on purpose early to pick up their kids, probably, but in other settings, like I just took the TTC here, that wasn't a third space. We just all sat, we waited for the bus, and yeah. Yeah, that's right. But it's interesting. This is something where people actually go to relax and converse and to eat and to spend time together with others. Accessible and accommodating. That's where even McDonald's, you can tell they're changing their, they're doing these McCafes now to try to make them more like fireplaces. And that's a sense of this is kind of homey here. I feel comfortable here. There's regulars. Who, and that's why when I went to the gym, that was key, because when I went to the gym, I was not a regular, and it took me a while to kind of break in and for them to accept me. So there's that sense of, yeah, like you see the same people all the time there. Low profile, without extravagance or grandiosity, there's a homely feel, a playful mood. So there's banter, there's give and take, there's joking and teasing. And it's a home away from home. It's a warm place, a place of possession and belonging, a regenerative space. And these are some of the characteristics of a third space.
I believe you said a church is not a third space.
Not always a third space.
But it is a third space for people who
have. Yes, that's right.
It's not a third space in the definition of a third space in which we want to.
Right. That's right. In terms of thinking of third space, I think what we're going to see this quote, Oldenburg generally is defining third spaces as spaces for the community. But I think you're right. As a subset of the community, the church can become a third space. What I'm thinking of as I think of third spaces is, like, for instance, Liberty Village, where do the people go? And yeah, so that's a good point. For maybe that's part of the problem. Our third spaces tend to be the church, and that's why we're not intersecting with the community. Yeah, it's true. I mean, so my experience at Richview, which was kind of Kipling, Eglinton area, was close to Dixon Road, which is where, I mean, it's been in the news a lot, the Dixon Road corridor with the Somalis. And one day the police would and clergy would get together and do these police walks. And even Baptists don't wear collars, but I'd put on a collar and you go out with the police. And it was a way of trying to reach into the community. And I don't know that it worked, really, because putting on a collar and going around with armed police, it doesn't really invite community necessarily. But I remember going, it was fascinating to go to the courtyard in the middle of summer because the place was packed full of Somalis coming down, and that was like the third space of that community. Across the road was a country style. I don't like country style, but if you were gonna minister in that area, I knew a person whose goal was to get to know that community, reach out to the community. He lived at that country style, and that was his ministry. Like, he's like, if I'm going to get to meet people, that is the place. That's the third space in the community. So he would just sit at country style all day, and that was his ministry. Tremendous fruit from it. So I think you're right. Coffee shops are usually the key in most communities. I think it's harder. The more you drive, I think it changes the dynamics of what a third space is. So again, like, if everybody's walking, you tend to have the same traffic patterns. When you're commuting and going through a drive-through, it shifts a little bit. So it's harder to find, harder to discern, but there's got to be a third space even there. But where do they go? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But to be curious, I'd love to talk to Ryan and find out, where is that third space then? Yeah. Do you remember that show, Train 48? Yeah. Train 48 was a show about these people commuting on a GO train. I forget where they were going even, but every day they would show up and sit and talk together. So. Yeah, it was a good show. How does that change in the winter? I wonder if it shifts a little bit. It's true. That's a great park. It's a great park. And I think that's where the change has taken place, because probably 40 years ago, 30 years ago, churches were much more that way. It was community space. But I think what you're pointing out is... Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So it's interesting, because this is where I'm saying... We have eight characteristics. Not every third space has all eight. But some of them, if you have seven, you're really getting close to a complete third space. And we maybe some of them aren't quite there, but they're 7/8 of the way there.
We were really impressed when we looked in England in their Catholic Church model and how that was working until we investigated the drinking habits of coffee places in England. They shut down.
That's right. That's key, because what you've done, you touched on a few things. You've made it level, and you've made it so that it's community space. It's not the church's space that you're entering. It belongs to the community, so that's key, yeah. One thing I want to highlight here, really why third places are important, I don't know if you've ever thought of, so again, I was in Richview in Etobicoke, and for years, Kipling in Eglinton, I was trying to figure out where in the world is the center of this community. And for the life of me, I could find out, okay, for the Somalis, this is the center of their community. I could discover maybe for different subgroups, but really there was no heart of the community. And so moving to Liberty Village, it was completely different because everybody goes to the same place. And it highlights for me that, I mean, Jane Jacobs, different people would say there's certain components that make a place, a neighborhood, livable. And I think to translate that into this, third spaces are probably, they are one of the key places that make a community very livable in terms of, well, this is what Oldenburg says. He says, they're distinctive informal gathering places. They make the citizen feel at home. They nourish relationships and a diversity of human contact. They help create a sense of place and community. They invoke a sense of civic pride. They provide numerous opportunities for serendipity. They promote companionship. They allow people to relax and unwind. They're socially binding. They encourage sociability instead of isolation. They make life more colorful. They enrich public life and democracy. Their disappearance from our culture is unhealthy, for they are the bedrock of community life and all the benefits that come from such interactions. So in other words, they're absolutely essential for every community, but not every community has them. In some communities, they're an endangered species. And that's why some communities, you just feel like there's something missing. It just doesn't feel like it's easy to get to know your neighbors, or it just feels like we come home, we drive in, close the garage door, we live alone, but there's no sense of neighborhood here. Was there, did anybody ever propose, why don't we have the cathedral instead?
No, I said I was doing it.
Yeah, it's good. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. That's good. Yeah. No, this is good. I'll cut you off when we get rushed.
Say that
That's great. The more you use your building for things like polling stations and community groups and that, the more it's seen as being community space and not church space. And I think it's brilliant to have that name so it's even something different. I think back and then when... And what happens, though, sometimes is the church people will say, but the walls are getting damaged and there's wear and tear and how these people are coming into our space. And so there's always that. Yeah, it's good. It's a change in mentality, right? This isn't our space. It's community space and we get to use it. Yeah, that's good. Very good. I want to speak to the issue of churches being third spaces. And just to say this, I remember reading a book that's really not all that good, I think, so I wouldn't recommend you get it, but it's called On the Verge by Alan Hirsch and Dave Ferguson. And the one thing I remember from that book is that the current approaches in terms of attractional, and please understand, I believe there's a role for attractional approaches to outreach. It's not like they're bad, but I believe what they're saying is true, that that approach will has the potential to reach only 40% of the population. Mm-hmm. And so I believe there's a place for it. I'm not saying if you do attractional, you're wrong, but I'm saying that I think it, in Canada, in a post-Christian context, this number might even be going down, that there's only about 40% of the population that you're going to reach. Come to our building. We have the best childcare. We have the best worship. We have the most interesting speaker. It's relevant to your life. They're saying that that's not going to reach the majority of the people in your neighborhood. And so a lot of churches have this idea, if we bring people onto our property and expose them to what we have to offer, that's going to reach our community. And they're saying, no, it won't. Now, just by necessity, in Liberty Village, there are no churches. And not only that, we will probably never have our own space. I had my eye on a shed, unheated. I thought, it's great, because if it ever comes up, we can afford it. It's unheated, there's no water. It's great, you know, for a church. And so it came up for lease, and I said, how much? I phoned the guy, and he's like, oh, $9,000 a month. And that's for no water, no nothing, a shed. We will probably never have our own space. And in a way, I see that as being great. I get tired of moving chairs and setting up sound systems. And, you know, sometimes it'd be great to have our own space. But there's a freedom in knowing we don't have to convince people to come onto our space. And what we've been trying to do is, and I said here, not usually. I think we've heard a couple stories of making church into a third space for the community. But I think we need to realize, what if we think about it a little bit differently? What if we create third spaces and go into existing third spaces that exist in the community? And I'm glad we're forced to do that. We have no option. We have no building we can go into and say, come to us. So we're forced to minister and pioneer in third spaces. And it is a lot of fun. I challenge you one of these days, as we think about third spaces, go through the Gospels and the book of Acts and see how much ministry took place in third spaces. I'm just preaching this week on John 7, where Jesus goes to Jerusalem. And it's funny, he says, I'm not going. And I'm not going, it's not my time. And so everybody goes, everyone's looking for Jesus. Jesus all of a sudden shows up and begins talking with people. And in those days, the temple courts were third spaces. You see how much dialogue took place in the temple. And it wasn't like we're going to offer a sacrifice. It would be like just, they would, the week of Passover, it would be packed and people were there. You go through the book of Acts and synagogues. And I don't know everything about how that worked, but it seems like Paul's first place that he went to was the synagogue because that's where the people were. Like you said, back then that was the third space. That was the gathering place where the community went. It was at least where a certain people went. The riverside, Paul in Acts 17 going to address, you know, you see all through the book of Acts, all through the Gospels, third spaces. Can anyone think of any other examples? There's tons of them. Yeah, the well. That's right. Yeah. I mean, Jesus, it all over the place. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, the beaches. I mean, Jesus spent most of his time in third spaces, what we would see as third spaces. So I would challenge you. I mean, I haven't done this. Going through the Gospels, going through the Acts, and just noticing where they were and how they handled it when they were there in the third spaces. Yeah, that's right. It was really the center of the community. Yeah. Certainly in the, less in the Roman cities, but yeah, in Israel for sure. Anyone else? Yeah, yeah. It's interesting, isn't it, that idea of traveling along and having a conversation with these people. So it wasn't like, hey, there was that conversation going on the way. Yeah. Yeah. So there's a book, actually, somebody needs to write. Examples of scriptural Gospels and Acts, third spaces. Tim Chester's done that for food. And somebody's got to do it for third spaces, you know, looking at how Jesus and the apostles. So if any of you are writers, it might be worth thinking about. You had a... Yeah. Or how about we tear off this roof and lower the guy down so he can get healed? Yeah. Yeah. What about virtual third spaces? That's a question I want to wrestle with very quickly. What do you think of that? Is that a cop-out? Can a virtual third place exist? Now, we have to acknowledge the virtual world is a real world. So people say that's not the real world. It is. There's real people. There's real interactions. But it's not as rich as face-to-face. There's something lost in the online interaction. But so I'll give you an example, and then I'll ask you if you think this counts as a third space. In Liberty Village, there's this thing called the Liberty Village Residents Association. And Liberty Village right now has about 7,000 people living there. And I think as of this month, probably about 1,100 or 1,200 are on Facebook. And so if you want to know what's going on this website, Facebook, Liberty Village Residents Association page. And so if anything happens, the biggest issue this week has been a piece of dog waste landed on a balcony, and everybody was going on the page, how come the dogs are always leaving their waste around? And, you know, all of a sudden there's like 100 comments on this, or a restaurant opens and people will say, oh, did you hear this restaurant has a sale on, and everybody goes, or this restaurant. And it, I mean, if you want to look, where do you go as a clearinghouse of information in Liberty Village? It's actually the Liberty Village Residents Association page on Facebook, which is the number one place. So one of my friends was saying, I'm off Facebook for February, and I can't. I mean, if I'm going to be in Liberty Village, I can't. I mean, if I want to know what's going on in the community and connect with people. So what do you think? Can an online community have elements of being a third space? Anyone, yay, nay? Yeah, absolutely.
I think, again, your 7-8 points of third space are useful to help assess what is the value of this third space. You often think, you hear people say, oh, that's the virtual world, it's not the real world. That's not real relationships, it's just Facebook relationships. And I say, well, how good a relationship do you have with the people who you live next door to? Or you shop in the same shop as them? What is this great real world that you have? You know, what are your relationships like there? Because I don't think they're very good, and I think we actually don't talk about things that are very important. People are very inaccessible. Whereas here, people can get a bit spiky, they can get passionate, the emotions are wider on there. The idea of liking something is totally outside of what we normally think about, and sharing that, and different abilities to interact. We're using this, our big thing we're trying to communicate with our guys, not communicate as a church. It's kind of, here's the event we'd like you to show up to, here's the date and time, here's we're posting our poster to Facebook. But rather tell the story of, as we're building something, unfinished parts of the story of what we're doing. And that's what we're finding people are really entering into. We're actually using a little bit of Facebook advertising now. When we've got posts that we know people are kind of reading, and it's awesome.
Okay, very good.
So then I think the media habits and the media consumption of different communications with the media.
Yeah.
Particularly if we have to consider a larger network when the account is becoming an issue, how do we communicate?
Yeah.
So the big part of which is more relevant.
Yeah, that's right. You have to know your culture. In some places this will work. Redeem the commute, right? It's brilliant for people who are commuting. Liberty Village, and this is a thing. So for a lot of us, we remember develop a website, you know, develop a good church website. And now people are saying, that's important, you need a website, but it's not really enough because a website isn't a level place where you can go and interact. You need a place where people can go on and say, I don't like this, I like this, and hash out their beefs, and it's more interactive. It's not your space, it's community space. So it's interesting. Liberty Village, that's one of the main third spaces, especially in the winter. It changes in the winter, everybody's inside, and that more and more interaction goes online. And it drives me crazy because some of the conversations on Facebook are ridiculous, but that's where you need to be. You know, that's where you need to be present. So it's worth thinking about. And of course, we all know this, the adage that in a high-tech world, high touch becomes even more important. So it's not one or the other. Like, one of the best ways is, and I love this in Liberty Village, you see the profiles of people, and then you meet them in person, and you go, oh, you're so-and-so, I met you online. And it used to be weird, now it's not. It used to be, but it's a great way of, you begin to recognize people.
That was my question, are there relationships that go on that take place
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Which is one of the great things, because some of the people who behave poorly online, when you get them in person, you discover they're the nicest people. And you're like, why are you such a jerk online? The sense of accountability of, I know you now. You know, you're one building over. I'm going to come to you next time you're a jerk and confront you on that.
Well, the options will be on Facebook, too. I know Harris has experimented with Google Hangouts.
Yeah.
As opposed to more of a face-to-face, almost sort of group Skype.
Yeah.
So it can go beyond just the Skype.
That's right.
So there are a lot of options.
Yeah.
Beyond that as well. The virtual youth group.
It's good. Well, we only have 15 minutes left. I want to challenge you just with, because it's supposed to be practical, this workshop, how do we use third spaces to pioneer? And I want to tell you the best way that I've discovered is what I'm about to talk about now, which is not to create third spaces, but to use existing third spaces. If they exist in your community, you know, it's the old thing of, why don't we start a church hockey league? And I mean, a lot of people have said, interesting idea, maybe, but why don't we join the existing church soccer league existing community soccer or hockey league or soccer league or whatever? And instead of creating third spaces, probably the best thing to do would be to ask, where are the existing third spaces in the community and how can we enter into them? And so, number one, identify existing third spaces. Where do the people hang out? If people were to go and leave their homes, their workplaces, is it the coffee shop? Is it the bus stop? Is it, where is it? And so, you know, coffee, in our context, coffee shops, the park, the pub, the Facebook page, there's all these events that take place in the summer. There's an after work party, there's an art crawl. I joined Toastmasters. It's very humbling because I speak every week, and I always hear the nice sermon pastor, and you know sometimes it stank, and people are like, nice sermon pastor. And you go to Toastmasters, and you get honest feedback, but that's neutral ground. It doesn't matter that I'm a clergy or whatever. Everybody's the same. Is that a third space? I don't know. It's a place, it's not completely accessible to anyone, but it's got characteristics of a third space. The gym, Super Bowl parties, farmers markets, all sorts of ideas. And we are trying to inhabit every third space we can find in the community. So much so that last year, a member of the Business Improvement, the BIA in the area, Business Improvement Association, saw us and were like, you guys are everywhere. And we got tired of it, like all this, like showing up wherever we could. And sometimes we did it as a church event. We'd throw up our tent and hand out water or coffee. Sometimes we'd just show up and just be present as, you know, sitting and building relationships, but identifying where they are and just showing up endlessly to these places. So number two, join in where possible. Don't create alternate third spaces, at least as your first approach. Maybe that's a good thing to do if there aren't enough community places. But I would say consider, for us, we had to move to Liberty Village because really, I remember one week, there were like four community events that I went to, and like somebody's putting a pub night on, somebody's having a movie night in their condo, and I'm like, as a church planner, I'm like, I don't know what's work and what's fun. It's like it all blends in together. I'm going to somebody's house for dinner. They're unbelievers. There's a good friend of mine in Liberty Village. He's a lay Buddhist Zen monk, and you know, he's living common law with his girlfriend, and his situation is messy, and he's trying to scare me a little bit by, you know, telling me how other clergy reacted to his life and his beliefs and everything. And he's asked me to marry him now and his wife, and I got to navigate that, right? Because I don't do lay Buddhist, I don't do Zen Buddhist weddings. I'm a Christian minister, but you know, a lot of it is hanging around, meeting people like that, joining in where. And what I love, I went to one of his parties, and I'm looking around. He opened it to everybody in Liberty Village. I look around that night, and except for one person, everybody there is a believer, which tells me two things. Number one, not all of them were from our church. It tells me two things. First, our people are starting to get it because they're trying to go into third spaces, community parties. And number two, there was other people who weren't from our church And I'm like, okay, God's up to something in his life because he opens a party to everybody and a whole bunch of believers go. And what's God up to because God's doing something in his life? Number three, build genuine relationships. And this is where it's just be friends. I mean, basic 101. If you think about for very long, Jesus not just being a savior for sinners, but Jesus being a friend of sinners. Think about that. I mean, that blows me away, that Jesus was a friend of sinners, that sinners would say, people who were not religious, who had reputations, would say, he's my friend. You know, he comes to my parties. He hangs out with me. I can talk to him. He's fun to be around. And then lastly, look for opportunities. I put a picture here. There's this day and night cafe in the community that closed down. Everything was half price. I told you I'm learning. My wife and I were like, okay, cupcakes are half price. We'll go and we'll pick up some cupcakes. We'll come back to our place. It'll be like 10 minutes. Well, I go there. The reason it was closing was because nobody ever went there. But when it was half price, everybody was there. The place was jam-packed. I didn't mention alcohol was half price that night. And so I go there. There's these people who know us. They're half loaded. And this woman comes up to me. She's like, she's drunk. Like, she's, Daryl, I'm so glad you're in this community. I moved to this community because I wanted to party. I thought I would be happy if I lived in Liberty Village and partied. And she's like, it didn't work. If she was sober, she wouldn't tell me this. But she's drunk, and she's hanging on to me. My wife was there, so I was like, at first I was like trying to make eye contact, like, can we get out of here? And this other woman comes up. She's got a very alternate lifestyle. I won't get into the details, but very far from Christ. And she comes up. She's like, this was before Christmas. She's like, Daryl, you know what you need to do? She's like, you need to go into every condo. You need to get the common room in the condo. You need to tell the Christmas story. And she said, don't embellish it. Just tell it, stick to the Bible. Tell us what the Christmas story is because this community needs to hear it. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, I just want cupcakes. I've got these. And after about 10 minutes, it began to clue in. You know what? I think this was the place. This is the sort of place where Jesus was very comfortable, where Jesus went. And me from church world, this is not my comfort zone, but I began to relax and think, okay, this is an opportunity. This is a third space where I'm not comfortable, which means it's not my space, but I need to be here right now. I need to be building relationships. I looked over at, there's a table where a friend of mine, a coworker, is sitting playing board games with somebody else, again, who's in a very alternate lifestyle, and he's like a part-time church planner, this other guy is, wouldn't darken the door of a church, and they're playing board games together. And I began to look around thinking, okay, this is it, right? This is this is what third space ministry looks like. And also, I completely missed the point until I was there about 10 minutes and realized this is where we are called to be right now. So, and then there's the opportunity of creating third spaces. I mentioned my friend, Nathan, he started this board game group. So board games are really hot right now, especially in a place like Liberty Village. I don't care for board games. I don't like them at all, but I tolerate them. But he started this board game and group, and he puts these nights on. A whole bunch of people come, and he's created essentially a third space for board gamers where they go and they hang out, they play board games, they talk, and it's a great example of just creating an affinity group. Another friend of mine started a writing group, and she moved into the community. She's like, okay, how do we make relationships with people in the community? And what a great opportunity, because you assign a theme, you write on it, you share your work together. If you want to learn what people are thinking, that's a great way to do it, because they write, you listen, and you understand. If you want to communicate where you're coming from, again, you're writing, you're sharing your work. You know, look for holes, look for opportunities to create these places. Consider using your building, as you mentioned, to create third spaces. The good thing in Toronto, I don't know where all of you are from, there's so many churches that are being converted into, like, bike repair places. I walk on Queen Street, and there's this old church, looks like an old United Church, where it's like about four different things now. You take your bike in, you repair it. it's not even a church anymore. It's an old church building abandoned and repurposed. But I think it's an opportunity because people now feel safer going into old churches because they're condos now, they're lofts, they're bike repair places. So it's possible to take even a cathedral and maybe repurpose it to make it welcoming for people to come in. So it's just worth thinking about. And before we open it up for maybe last minute interaction, here's what I found helpful. Number one, recognize your fears. I put a picture of karaoke here. There's a Liberty Village karaoke night coming up. I hate karaoke. I hate listening to people sing karaoke. They're not good. I've heard maybe one good for every like 10 people up there. I'm not good. And it's always like, I hate it. What am I afraid of? Like, I've just got to get over it. And for the sake of the gospel, learn to like karaoke. And so, what's that? Oh, no, I don't. I don't want to practice. So, I mean, that's just key. I need to get over some of the things I hate. You know, going to that place where people were half loaded and this woman's hanging on me, I was very uncomfortable. I was afraid. I need to overcome my fears. Thankfully, my wife was there. If my wife wasn't there, I might feel more uncomfortable. But given that she's always within eyesight and I'm not doing anything inappropriate, you know, there's that, it's out of my comfort zone, but that's a good place to be. So what are your fears, your people's fears? Be real. And you know, don't put on the facade. You're not the minister. You're not whoever you are. Be real. And I won't get into this, but one of the things we learned in church planning is I showed up thinking I could have come in strength, and God just broke us as a family. I won't go into all the details, but man, I was limping. And you think you're going to plant out of strength. And one day my wife turns to me. She says, I don't think that our brokenness, our weakness is a distraction from how God wants us to plant this church. I think it's actually the way that God is calling us to plant this church. And there's something, God loves to work through weakness, and there's something about not being the expert, not having it all together, being a fellow struggler, and being real with people. As I talked to a couple pastors, brilliant pastors the other week, and they said, it's not like we're up here inviting people to get to where we are. We're fellow strugglers, inviting people to join us as we pursue God together. And there's an element of just being real, being open, appropriately open about where you are. Be honest. I loved what somebody said about, you know, at the pub, we're about Jesus. I think you can be that honest. You don't have to kind of say, oh, we're just, no, you can be pretty clear. We're about Jesus. And not that you're forcing that on people, but no, don't hide your agenda. I think people respect you just being open. Hey, we're not going to force it on you. You just need to know. If people ask you, don't be dodgy, right? Be very open about what you're about. Be committed for the long haul. The first year we did this in Liberty Village, it was like hitting walls. And it was almost like the gym where the first few months I went, nobody would talk to me, and all of a sudden I was in. You've just got to be persistent. Keep showing up. Don't go alone. I learned this from a couple who were creating missional community in a condominium. If one of them was super friendly and trying to build relationships, and everybody just said, well, this person's just friendly. So it's not like, oh, maybe God is doing something through this person. It was like, this person's really friendly. The minute two of them began doing it, very different temperaments, people had to think, wait a minute, it's not just that this person's unusually friendly and inviting. There's something going on here. When Nathan started joining me and we began to build friendships, exponentially our connections multiplied in the community. So I think there's something, Jesus sent the disciples out two by two. Do this with others. Develop a theology of relational ministry. I think it was Tim Keller that said, one of the problems for a lot of us is we're good at the declarative part of preaching. We're not as good at the listening part. And if you look at Jesus, he was able to preach, but he was also able to enter into conversations and relationship and listen and dialogue. Prepare for tough questions. And that's just like getting comfortable with saying, I don't know, or I'll have to think about it. Or Greg Kochel, if you haven't read his book, Tactics, really, really good book in terms of, you know, different techniques when people raise tough questions. Pray. Again, this is just like, you've just got to I think, was it you that mentioned it, or you that mentioned just like the importance of, this is what being a Christian is about, right? Praying. One of my friends goes to Chapters and just says, God, I don't know what you think of this, but just God, would you lead me to the right person? Would you build the right connections? And just going with that mindset of, God, would you just direct me to the right person? Be willing not to go to the hard places. So sometimes you just sense, if you push right now, the door's going to close. So be okay just playing a board game that night. Don't put the pressure on, how am I going to get to Jesus playing this board game? On the other hand, be willing to go to the hard places. Sometimes God will tell you, go for it, or a question will come up and you've just got to be ready to go there. So learn that tension, being present, but sometimes having that difficult conversation. And then lastly, enjoy the process. This is fun. If it's not fun for you, you're doing it wrong. And, you know, there's just something really about, it's hard sometimes, it's messy, but just enjoy it because it is a lot of fun. God loves people. As you get to love people, man, it's not work. It's just like you love to be out there in third spaces connecting with people. I really wanted to leave time for dialogue, and it's 2:30, so I think why don't we just open it for like a very quick 2-minute promise. Any reflections, any last comments before we wrap up here? No.
Like, so how do you navigate that? That's really tricky, I think.
It is.
And yes, you want to get into the community, you want to be there for the community, but you do have an agenda. So how do you navigate that?
Good question. I think being open. So we've made it clear it's not a church board game group. It's he loves board games. So for him, it's very genuine. I love board games. I want to meet people in the community. And just being open about that. Is it the goal to win people to Christ through the board game group? Not directly, but people know he's a pastor, a church planter. So it's sort of like, I just want to play board games. Yes, I'm a pastor. And just being open so nobody's surprised. Same with Toastmasters, right? I was really nervous when people found out I was a pastor. So I just like put it out there. My first speech talked about what it was like to plant a church, tried to get it on the table. But on the other hand, like I can't abuse that privilege. I can't go there and try to foist it on them. So it is hard. I think just, I would navigate towards being more open than less open, though.
It's all about developing the conversation.
That's right. That's right.
And I think it's close to being authentic.
Yeah, that's right.
I find, like, when I go into groups, I do a lot of just being myself in places. And yes, it's quite being blessed sometimes, but being able to just sit there and say, well, Jesus, I can't do that because there's no way I would be. You know? Well, or someone will crack a joke, go, like, oh, if I walk into a church and fall down, I go, no, I'm actually not. They need to start singing and I'll walk away.
Yeah.
You know, like, just being, like, stating what I believe in the midst of a normal conversation.
That's right. So it's not weird. It's not like, now I'm going to switch to the spiritual. You're just being real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're working on it together, you and I.
That's right. That's good. One last comment.
Suggest by any means at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
What does it mean when somebody's reached the end, whatever that goal is? You might describe it in different ways, but I think the potential, as it is, you know, said a few times, there's no denominational church, coming as an Anglican, there's such distance, you know, and there's been such tragedy in Canada, there's such separation. If there was some kind of agreement, not about practice and not about things we can, but just to say, actually, ultimately, we are leading somebody to the point where they've given their life to Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
It might be a tool for unity.
Yeah.
And I just had somebody the other day, just to remind me of this, that says, you know, I'm just not really sure I'm going to. I thought, oh, maybe we haven't made this clear enough. We're so careful to not offend people.
Yeah, that's right.
We haven't made it clear how they do get it.
Exactly.
That's
where I'm a bit frustrated with this topic, because we never really got the, it's supposed to be the goal is how do we have transformative discipleship taking, and we've just got to scratching the surface of how to begin to develop relationships. We need to take it further, absolutely, and how do we introduce people to the living Jesus Christ who, you know, so that's a great way to end. I think that's the goal. It's not just to build friendships, it's to lead people to encounter with Jesus Christ, so. Well, thank you very much. I think we have a plenary in about 10, 15 minutes. And thank you very much for coming.
We hope you enjoy this podcast. For more information on the conference and how you can register for the next Vital Church Planting Conference, please visit www.vitalchurchplanting.com.